that word means. And Lord Jesus, we say again right now, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. You are the mighty one. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the visitation that you've given us already this morning. That you don't just live in our hearts, you've overflowed into our worship and into our meeting, into our celebration. We say right now, Holy Spirit, would you continue to have your way with us? Through your living word, would you speak to us? Would you equip us? Would you empower us? Would you send us out so that we might be your people and the world might know that you are our Lord? In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Thank you. Well, you'll be pleased to know that I have selected the six men to be executed if anything goes wrong in my sermon. Would you like to know who they are? Can you imagine living in the reality of that? Your faith being so tested that actually real worship of Jesus is a life-threatening experience. It's incredible, isn't it, really? And we're going to hear a little bit more from Benny later. We're in the series, a great series that we've been in for weeks now. We make no apology for being in there. We're looking at the Acts of the Apostles. And as we hear stories from Benny, and as we're going to hear some more stories from him, it's no wonder that many people say, you know, the Acts of the Apostles is the one book in the Bible that's never really finished. That we're still living in the 29th chapter and onwards of that book. But we're in the 13th chapter this morning, and last week Pastor Chris set the scene for us of Saul and Barnabas being set apart by God, being commissioned by those around them to step out in faith. And so we're at the start of Paul's first missionary journey to Cyprus. I'm going to read it for you, Acts chapter 13, verse 4 down to verse 12. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Amen. I'm really going to simply unpack this passage for us and give us some insight into the Bible story here. And then Benny's going to breathe some real life into it, tell us some of the stories that he's been experiencing. And you'll see what a perfect fit this is. We'd known that Benny's going to be with us for some months. Until last week, we didn't know that this was the passage that we were going to be preaching on. But you'll see with me that it's such a perfect fit, and only God can do something like that. It's a passage that's in season for City Temple, not just for a big decision that the church has made, and we'll see how that fits in later, but because we're in a season where the next year or so, we're trying to encourage more and more people to step out in their faith in the city of Cardiff and amongst the nations, and we'll see that that's important. And for those of us this morning who are perhaps a little bit uncertain about our faith, we don't know who we believe. We're not in that position of full commitment to Jesus Christ yet. This is going to be a passage that's going to challenge us and encourage us to step into the purposes of Jesus. It's a passage that I believe is going to speak to Gary Smith and myself. We leave to go to India on Tuesday to represent Ignite and to represent City Temple, with all the wealth of ministry that Pastor Prasad in India is doing. We only know two Indian people in church, don't we? Benny Prasad and Pastor Prasad. There are other names in India apart from Prasad, and they're not related. They're part of the same family of God together, but they actually have never met. I've only ever met Benny for three occasions, and each occasion I've met him has been in a different continent of the world. I met him in America, first of all, at a gospel music conference in Nashville, Tennessee, when he was there meeting my friends in Third Day. Then I met him with Gary. We were in Liberia. Some of you will remember what Gary and I were in Liberia last June ministering with Ignite. And Benny's trip to Liberia coincided with our trip just for one day. We were able to do some radio ministry together. And you'll see how all these threads come together in this story here from Acts chapter 13. Paul has had, I've called it, the Holy Spirit steers Paul and Barnabas to Cyprus. I think last week, remind me, Chris, what was your scene? Catching the Wind of the Spirit, was that right? Something like that. And we're really moving on to that to see what a thrilling and exciting and fulfilling and powerful life it can be if we really allow ourselves to be propelled by the Spirit of God. If we really allow ourselves to be steered by the Holy Spirit, not by our own human decision-making. Benny's already touched on that a little bit. In this story here, there's a 12-year gap from Paul's conversion to where we are now, a 12-year waiting period before he's actually on his first mission trip. That might surprise many of us. It's not that many chapters in Acts of the Apostles, but actually it's quite a long time's gone by. And that might be an encouragement for those of you who are really waiting patiently to step into the destiny and the purpose that God has for you. All I say is hang on. That time is coming, and your waiting period won't be wasted. God will be using that to prepare you for the places and the plans that he has in store for you. So here they are, sent by the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was a Cypriot. So they're starting in a familiar place for Barnabas. He knows where they're going. Cyprus was under the rule of the Romans. And Sergius Paulus, as we're introduced to him here, was the proconsul, was the Roman administrator. He was the number one Roman guy in Cyprus. He was in charge of that island on behalf of the Romans. And as becomes their habit, Saul and Barnabas go to the synagogue where they meet the Jewish believers first of all, and then they step out to Paphos and then to the seat of government in Paphos. We read that John Mark is with them. He's simply called a helper. Other translations say he's an assistant, or one great translation says he was there to help out when needed. I love that. When I was preaching about Cornelius a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned some of the unnamed people in that story. And here we've got another supposed bit part player. He's not a great apostle. He's not an evangelist. He's a helper. But helpers are needed, you know. The assistants, the helpers, the people who help out when needed are vital. You speak to anybody involved in ministry, and without good people around them willing to support, willing to be involved, willing to help, then those ministries don't happen. So if you're just a helper this morning, make this a word of encouragement to you. You are needed. You are vital. And as Pastor Steve was talking about that prophetic, I believe it was a prophetic word from Pastor Steve this morning, about everybody here being released into ministry. And some of you will be released into a ministry of helping. Your ministry will be to help others minister. And you'll be blessed by doing that. They'll be blessed. We'll be blessed as a church. And the world will be blessed because you are willing to be a helper. Amen. I'm getting excited. I don't often get excited, but I just felt that there. There's two real main points to this story. It finishes, the crescendo of this story is the conversion of this guy, Sergius Paulus. Richard's getting excited because I'm getting excited. The conversion of Sergius Paulus, and before that, the defeat of this guy called Elymas. Sergius Paulus wanted to hear the message that Saul and Barnabas brought. Elymas, we're introduced to him as Bar-Jesus. That means son of Joshua or son of Jesus. And there were many different people called Jesus. You know that at that time. And what's evident as we go through this story is he might be the son of somebody called Jesus. He certainly wasn't the son of Jesus of Nazareth. This guy was a deceiver. Everything about him was false. He was a charlatan. And as he hears that Saul and Barnabas are approaching the proconsul, the Roman governor, with this story, he does everything he can to prevent them telling Sergius Paulus about the good news of Jesus. In fact, the Greek word for him is magos, which is the same word used for the magi, for the three wise men. And it really means a deceiver, somebody who's a trickster claiming false power. But Paul stands up to the falsehood of this man who we later hear is also called Elymas. And he stands up to him because Paul knows that he that is in him is greater than he that is in the world. And I want to say this, move on to the next slide for us if you can. That if you really want to progress in your life as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, if we really want to progress as the body of Christ together, two things are important. One, we must not be afraid to stand up against evil. We must not be afraid to stand up against deception, against trickery, against falsehood. A little bit later, the word that they use to describe him as a deceitful person is the word dolos, which means bait for a trap. And you know, there are traps waiting for you in this world that will catch you, that will bind you, that will harm you, that will cripple you. Be wary of them, stand up against them in the name of Jesus and walk in the light. And the second thing, if you really want to see progress in your life, if we really want to see progress in the church, we all want to see a move of the Holy Spirit. We will want to see the miraculous through the Holy Spirit of God bringing about faith in other people. That's as we read through the Gospels and Acts, that's what we see signs and wonders were there for, to point to evidence of Jesus and of the resurrection and of God's power displayed. And we'll see that as we hear a little bit more from Benny this morning. So Paul stands up to the falsehood of this charlatan, just like Peter did to Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8. And verse 9 reminds us that actually, if we're really walking in the power of God, then it's not us against evil, it's the Holy Spirit in us defeating evil. Verse 9 says this, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said..." Now verse 10 is a great summary of all that we might have to stand up against. "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" Now, there are times when we need to be compassionate and we need to be loving and we need to be forgiving. There are other times when we need to speak rebuke against falsehood and stand up, not just for what is right, but for who is right, and his name is Jesus. Do I get an amen to that this morning? And Paul says to him, to this false prophet, he says, "You are going to be blind." Now, if you remember Paul's story, part of his conversion story, before he gave his life to Christ, Paul was blinded, temporarily blinded. I'm wondering if Paul is hoping for this false prophet that the same thing will happen to him. That because he's spiritually blind, that physical blindness will come upon him for a while, and then when his sight is restored, he'll have faith in Jesus and he'll be in his right mind and he'll be a new creation. We don't know if that happens, but I'm sure that was Paul's intention. And as this is going on, Sergius Paulus sees this false prophet becoming blind, and he's amazed at what he sees and about the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't actually hear there that Paul is teaching him, but we can assume, because he's amazed at the teaching of Jesus, that Paul or Barnabas has used this miracle opportunity to speak truth into his life about Jesus Christ. That's a great picture for us. You know, the side theme of this story is that up to this time, we read about Saul and Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas is the leader. Saul is traveling as his sort of accomplice. Barnabas is sponsoring him, if you like. From this story onwards, we read about Paul and Barnabas. As they step into Gentile territory, Paul takes the lead. He leaves his Jewish name, Saul, behind, and he takes his Greek name, Paul, which gives him greater access and relationship with people to share Jesus. And Sergius Paulus is the first Gentile to be exposed and come to faith. We read earlier, a few chapters ago, about Cornelius, who was a Roman. He was worshipping as a Jew. And so he came to Christ through the lens of the Jewish faith. This guy here is a complete Gentile with a sorcerer to give him wisdom. Yet he comes to faith in Jesus. It's exciting. There's a message, a personal message for us, and a message for the church today. But before we get there, let's hear some more about Benny. Benny, come back up to the platform here. This couldn't be a passage better suited for you to share your story, really, because wherever you go, God has given you the privilege and the opportunity and spoken into your life about meeting leaders. You've met presidents and prime ministers and government officials and rulers of nations wherever you've traveled. And you also make a habit wherever you go of standing up against corruption, against deception, against the evil one whenever you see his plan. So share a little bit more about that vision that God gave you, and particularly the opportunities you've had to speak the words of Jesus into the lives of national leaders all over the planet.
Yeah, you know, to meet leaders is something, it's very, very challenging. It's not something that we should desire, or I would recommend you, other than if Jesus tells you to do that. Because many times they're so busy, and there are so many people in line waiting that, you know, for 4 minutes, what do you do with a leader? You know, first of all, you have to learn the right protocol, how to go about things, and so on and so forth. But when Jesus told me that he had called me to do this, as part of my travels and my ministry, is to go up and prophetically pray over a leader, or pray for him, or share the gospel. And he started to open the doors. Why? You know, meeting two or three leaders is okay. You know, for the first time, it's very fancy, it's nice, you can show those pictures over and over and over and over again. But after that, it becomes just another leader, another president, and it's over. But here, the reason why Jesus has called me to do this is to really speak truth into their lives, speak hope into their nation, and also a passage where Christians can find favor. And we really need people in every sphere of the society to see the kingdom of God expand in this world. It's not just one area. We really need to plant people in every place to see the kingdom of God expand in as fast as possible. And leaders are also a very important part of seeing the gospel go on. For example, I was sharing the earlier service about Afghanistan, and the cultural minister was a Taliban guy, and Taliban hate music, hate anything outside the Islamic culture. And my friends from England, Pete and Bob, were there trying to build up this place called a Garden of Peace and Hope, where they wanted to collaborate Afghan art with world art, and then slowly share the gospel through that. And they were in this place, they were almost, everything went off, they were nothing, no favor. And they've come to the last meeting with the Minister of Culture. And at the time I had just arrived in Afghanistan, and they asked me, Benny, are you okay to coming to this place? I said, yes, my name was not on the list. Nobody had carried an instrument into that office before. But, you know, I've experienced so much of favor of God. I've prayed all kinds of prayers. I remember in Saudi Arabia when I landed, they were making fun of me because they cut the long hair in the airport. It's wrong. It's against the law for a man to have long hair in Saudi Arabia. But I prayed that he would blind all the officials. So God blinded all the officials. And so God did allow me to go into that country. Or Libya this year. My visa says I'm an engineer. But what is guitar and engineering? There's nothing in common. I can't answer that question if they ask me. So I told Jesus, please mute this man, and he muted him, so they didn't ask me anything. So going through these kind of situations, I knew that God could make a way for me to go into this office. Went into this office, and it was such a tensed moment, such a dark moment. There was no communication in the right way. And the guy was so upset, his face was just filled with anger, and Pete and Bob's face were filled with fear, what was going to happen with this ministry and other things. And for 30 minutes, there was no joy, no smile. And suddenly, the arrow was pointed at me, and Pete said that we want to collaborate with world-class artists with Afghanistan, and here is one of them. And then I took out my guitar, and I played Shout to the Lord. Amen. And when we finished playing, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came. The joy of the Lord literally came into that room. Mm-hmm. And this man started to smile and laugh. And then next thing, he wanted me to be on the national TV. But, you know, it was not the right time. So God gave me the wisdom to say no. No, don't think that everything is fancy when somebody gives you an opportunity. We need to have the wisdom of God. And so then next thing, he went to Pete and Bob, said, now exactly tell me what you want me to do. For 30 minutes they explained. He never listened. And suddenly he says, what you want me to do? So they give them the explanations. And he says, okay, those are things done. If you need anything else, let me know. Now this is what the Spirit of the Lord does. And in times of persecution, difficulties, we should still pursue for God to open a door that we can see these officials transformed one way or the other so that the kingdom of God and the message of Christ can move further and further and further.
Tell us about the few minutes that you had with the deputy president in Benin, was it? And how that actually changed to be a lot longer time.
You know, one of the challenges in Africa, Africans don't take offense, but this is the truth, is bribery is very common in every port of entry and exit. And it is a very big challenge. Sometimes it's humanly understandable because they've said they've not had a salary for 8 months. So they make their own salary by charging $1 or $2 per border crossing. And it sounds to be good, fair enough, according to the world standards. Even I've met with many ambassadors. They say, Benny, it makes my life easy, makes their life easy, so nothing wrong. But as a Christian, we cannot lose our value. You know, as Christians, we are called to be in the world and not off the world. And part of that is not paying bribes. I've been deported from Russia in 2002 because I didn't pay bribes. But I'm willing to lose all that, but not my faith, my character, and my value as a Christian. So being here, crossing this border, you know, the guy was telling me that I had to pay money. I said, no, I cannot pay. I cannot pay. Anyway, after 3 hours or so, the other officer asked me, can you please pray for my legs? My legs are paining. So I prayed for her. And in the meantime, God did a transformation in the heart of the other officer who was troubling me. And he says, then he took my passport, he stamps it, and he says, Benny, please remember me in your prayer. My name is Nestor. So whenever you remember, pray for me. And he didn't charge anything. And I went to the president's office. And president was busy with the Finnish prime minister, so I had to meet with the assistant and sat down and I shared these things. I told him, you know, I was able to travel in your nation without paying bribe because of my faith in Jesus. This man was so shocked that he canceled his appointments for the next 2 hours, took me to another place, and he says, I want to hear more of your faith journeys. And he says, the next time I become the president, I want you to come and play for the inauguration as a man of God. No, so Jesus puts us in these places to encourage these people rather than to get overwhelmed with their awe and their position, is to challenge them to live a life of Christ in the place where they are.
Now, you're only 3 countries away from breaking the world record of being the fastest man ever to visit every country in the world. And you've got those 3 countries in your diary for August. They're Macedonia, Oman, and Pakistan. Now, tell us how difficult it is to get into Pakistan, which is actually geographically the nearest country to you in India, and how God worked a miracle in North Korea that's going to help you get into Pakistan. Tell us that story.
Well, you know, you need to at least envision that North Korea is a desert. Now, if you want something, you need help, that's not the place you go to. You know, that's the last place you would ever go to, is any kind of help, because there's no help. Communication was cut off for 5 days. Nobody knew where I was, and I did not know what was happening in the world. It was just completely cut off. And to go to Pakistan, there's only 2 ways I can go: if I have a blood relative or if the government of Pakistan invites me. There is no other way that I can go to Pakistan. And the embassy even told me, if you don't have this, don't even bother to come to the embassy because your visa is automatically rejected. And I didn't know how to do this because I don't have any blood relative and there is no way to get hold of Pakistani embassy. And it was a challenge. You know, you have been running a marathon for 6 years and you have come to the end and yet you still have a challenge till the very end. And I have to put my faith in Jesus. And when I reached North Korea, I went in this hotel called Yangdakto, and there was 43 floors, and my room was in the 32nd floor. When I got out of the lift, I heard someone speak in Hindi. And I turned around, and I was so shocked and amazed that in North Korea, somebody speaking in Hindi is just not at all common. So I told them, "You're speaking in Hindi." They said, "No, we are speaking in Urdu, and Urdu is 50% Hindi." And they asked me, "Who are you?" So I explained to them, and I asked them, "Who are you?" They said, "Well, we are the official Pakistani parliamentarian delegation that have come for an official visit to the parliament of North Korea." So I explained to them my situation. They said, "Well, this is our room number, and tonight at 10 o'clock we will be back so we can discuss." And when I checked the room number, it was diagonally opposite to my room. And for 3 evenings, spent time with them. And they said, "Don't worry, we will do our best for your visa. They've already submitted my paperwork in Islamabad to the Ministry of Interiors to get my no objection certificate." My friends, it cannot be a good luck thing. It cannot be some kind of an accident or coincidence. Those things cannot happen in North Korea. I'll tell you, such things, again, the octopus cannot pick such kind of things, truly. But this is the plan of God, that of all the floors, 43 floors, to have the Pakistani delegation in the same floor, diagonally opposite to me, same time when I'm coming, you know, it is nothing but the plan of God, that He has, He knows the ways how to really take care of His children.
Mm.
You know, if He knows how to feed Elijah through ravens, then what's impossible for Jesus Christ?
Mm.
Put your faith in Him. He has the connections. He is the greatest influence of your life.
Amen. Let's thank Benny as he goes to sit back down. Thank you. So before I just say a couple of closing remarks about the passage to sum up this morning, I want to say this. Benny has CDs available after the service with some of his music on. In the style that he's played this morning, an instrumental. They're great for your own devotional time. They're great if you know somebody from an Eastern background or somebody who's involved in mysticism or New Age stuff. A lovely gift to give them. Benny doesn't put a price on those. There's not a charge for them. If you'd like to make a donation into his life and ministry, then you're more than happy to do so as you receive one of those, take one of those CDs. And let me say this, I'm not sure if you picked this up earlier, that every year in advance, Benny plans a year's program and pays for it. So at the start of this year, he had enough money to be able to book flights and hotels and transport for a whole year of ministry. Now that's a real act of faith, isn't it? And he's not charging us to come here today or anything like this at all. In the next few weeks, when we put more mission information out, I know that the first thing many of you will do is look at the cost on that thing. And you will say, "I would love to go to Israel, but I can't afford it. I would love to go to India, but I can't afford it. I would love to go to Africa, but I can't afford it." I want you to remember Benny Prasad, who through God's grace is able to pay for a year of mission trips. Not 1 week or 2 weeks, but a year. If you think that God can do that through a man like Benny, just perhaps God might be able to help you find the money to come away with us for a week or 2 weeks. So let's be people of faith. Let's come back to this passage. Two final thoughts, message for today for us, this passage. If you move us on to the final slide, that would be helpful. Thank you. Oh, it's gone. Here we go. The first one is this, that the church must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, as churches, we trust leadership. We trust wise decision making. We've heard this morning of a very momentous and positive decision that the church has made. But we pray in that wise men though they are, respected national leaders though they are, that actually above everything else, that was a decision from the Holy Spirit. A godly decision. And we've heard this morning how sometimes godly wisdom doesn't always make sense. If Benny had really just trusted his own decision making, he wouldn't be here with us today. He would have been one of the many thousands who died in the tsunami in Sri Lanka. And so we must be people who aren't afraid to occasionally put aside human wisdom and followed in the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, when we release ourselves to his leading, to his power, to his direction, who knows what exciting things could happen? Who knows what God has in store for us as a church in this next season if we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and we're determined to step out in his power, not our own? Who knows what joys and thrills could be heading our way? And the final thing is this, that each of us in our own way, as we read this story, we have to decide whether we are a Sergius Paulus or whether we are an Elymas. That might be a bit complicated for you to understand. Put it this way. We need to be somebody who says, yeah, I'm going to respond in awe and wonder and amazement and be thrilled by the message of Jesus, and I'm going to step into that and discover my place in his purposes. Or I'm going to be somebody who's going to be cynical, who's going to step back and who's going to mock it, who's going to find other ways, dark ways, worldly ways of finding my wisdom. And you might say that's a bit extreme. But actually, I don't think there's any room in the world, especially face to face with Jesus, to say, I'm just going to steer a middle ground. I'm going to sit on the fence. I'm not sure which way I'll go. I'll just be lukewarm about things. Now, somebody once said, as we look at the world around us, we're either part of the problem or we're part of the solution. We can't be neutral. We can't stick in the middle. And for some of you here this morning, you're perhaps weighing up the cost of following Christ or putting your faith and trust in something or someone else. I want to encourage you this morning to embrace Jesus with everything that you've got. That Jesus is the truth. He says himself, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In the Old Testament, we read these words. It says, choose this day who you will serve. In other words, you've got to serve somebody. Who's it going to be? You can serve the devil or you can serve the Lord. The verse continues, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray together. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning, and perhaps you've been involved in some deception and some dark stuff. You've been confused. You've stepped into New Age things. You've stepped into demonic stuff. You've stepped into occult stuff. You've stepped into stuff that you realize now is deceitful and confusing. And this morning you want to break free from that, and you want to accept the claims of Jesus Christ to free you as your liberator, as your saviour, as your Lord. And I want to pray for you that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that propels Benny around the world, the same power that Saul and Barnabas saw at work in the life of that Roman consul on Cyprus will flow through you now as you give your life to Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, if there's anybody like that this morning, and you need the power of God in your life to break free, and this morning you want to say, no holds barred, I want to follow Jesus. Just in a moment of stillness and quietness, will you stick your hand up right where you are now? Okay. Thank you. I see one or two hands. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, thank you that indeed that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. Thank you, Lord, that you are the bondage breaker. You set people free. And pray right now for those that have responded, Lord. Would you come into their life by your Holy Spirit? Touch them anew and afresh, we pray. Break them free from darkness. Move them into the power of light, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to ask Gary to come out as well, and we're just going to pray for Gary.